You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
On today's episode of Yang Speaks, we're talking about Carly's trip to Miami Hack Week. We are talking about Andrew Cuomo resigning. But most importantly, we're talking deepfakes on Yang Speaks today. So welcome back, everybody. Glad you've tuned in. Carly, welcome back from Miami. How is your sunburn? Because this has been an adventure in the household here.
Yeah, my sunburn has been excruciating. Though I will say the internet has provided a lot of relief in the sense that I feel like I know what the trajectory of a sunburn is. So I've now learned that 48 hours post-sunburn is the worst. So I'm now kind of over the hump. But I basically couldn't wear a shirt yesterday. Not to get inappropriate, but
if you've ever had it that bad sunburn, guys, it's horrendous. I had it in college once where like it was just itching and you're going nuts. The best thing I can tell you, I had a buddy of mine who served in Iraq who got sunburned so severely and did not have any aloe. The key is aloe and anything you'd find in that realm. But if you don't have that, cold shower, no soap, ice cold shower.
It's so
cool down the skin,
though. Big
time. Don't use any soap or anything. And then aloe if you can get it. But cold shower helps, especially right after. So at least that's his tip. It worked for me. We got burnt real bad and we just took massively cold
showers.
That's
a fun spin on the graduation speech, right? Like there's a famous graduation speech that's like, don't forget the sunscreen. And we can update it and be like, but if you do, take a cold shower.
I don't know whose speech that is, but that sounds fun. Anyway, you met some really cool people. Two of them we're going to have on this podcast. What's your big takeaway from going down to Miami's recruiting crypto engineers? So they had a hack week. What's your takeaway, Carl?
My takeaway is I love nerds and I love spending time with them. And then I think it has only re-solidified my commitment to this world of blockchain, crypto, the future. I think this is a really awesome group of people and I would bet on them any day of the week, and I am betting on them and it's going quite well thus far. So
this is true. So before we get in there, let's do a couple of things I think are worth talking about quickly. Big news that happened today. We're recording this on Tuesday, August 10th. You're hearing this on Thursday the 12th, or around then. Governor Andrew Cuomo has officially resigned. Governor of New York here. Here's my quick hot take, my rationally average take here. Okay. On a human level, there are some conservative values like limited government and like making it easier to do business that I align with. And I think I've made that somewhat clear on this podcast. But I'm a Democrat because I believe generally that the Democrats are trying to be the good guys and have empathy and take care of our least fortunate. Which is to me why the Cuomo thing is very frustrating, because it's the hypocrisy and you see it across the Democratic Party a lot. So you're trying, you're part of the good guy, you're saying you're a good guy, you're playing on the good guy team, if you will, but then you're a fucking predator. Like what the hell? And on one end, now anyone listening to this would be like, well, Republicans are substantially worse, and I would agree, generally speaking, case by case, but generally speaking, yes. But Republicans, in some ways, own the fact that they are assholes. Like they don't pretend to be someone they're not. And there's a certain odd amount of respect I have for people that just own their shittiness, as opposed to pretending, being a wolf in sheep clothing, pretending to be a good guy, and then being a freaking predator. And which is why Democratic hypocrisy really, really bothers me. So I don't know what your thoughts are, but that is my Cuomo take of the day.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think it's really frustrating when you have people on our own team who are making us look bad. And the other thing is, I feel like we haven't made enough of the nursing home deaths. Like, I feel like something that the Republicans have hammered really hard, and that was like Fox News's big talking point. But the Democrats now are reckoning with the Cuomo thing over the women front. But I don't feel like we've reckoned enough with the fact that, like, for a while, that to me felt like it was worse than the women's scandal. Now you've had more women come out, it sort of changed. But, like, for a while, it was like, what? Like, we're just going to gloss over this? And you want to talk about hypocrisy? I mean, this was the dude who wrote the book on, like, how to handle the COVID pandemic. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's also just part of this takeaway, is to think about, I mean, I read an article.
What we're being sold. How's that? Sorry.
Well, I read an article in Glamour magazine or whatever it was, like, in the beginning of the pandemic, you know, talking about how Cuomo's her boyfriend, like a whole like kind of funny article
the
about
Cuomo
how in love
sexual.
She is with Cuomo. Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm a Cuomo sexual. Exactly. Like this dude was so propped up in so many ways. And at the time, I remember feeling like it was rhetoric over substance. It felt like I'm not hearing enough about what Cuomo's actually doing. I just hear that people are really turned on by his briefings at the end of the night because he can form a complete sentence. And Trump, our president at the
time.
We
were looking at the time for strong leadership and for... In many ways, he is a strong leader. He is a strong personality. He is bold. He is decisive. He is articulate. He is calm in a crisis. All those things. He's also a predator. He also appears to be a liar. He also appears, not appears, there's also strong, there's a strong evidence that he has a very hostile workplace and people are terrified of fucking working for him. Look, you don't deserve these jobs. We don't, as people, we should not be tolerating this. I'm glad he's resigning. I'm glad we're getting rid of him. Screw that guy. I'm proud of all the women who stood up and said something. I'm ashamed of all the people who let it go on for probably decades. It's fucked up. There was this defense, at least in the beginning, that's like, all right, he's just kind of a creepier old guy, like generation gap, a little touchy-feely. But
Italian,
the reports were
intense.
Yeah, but the reports were I read the reports. They're pretty bad. He's like groping women up their shirt and mentioning very creepy content. And when there's smoke, there's fire. And it's 11 women all saying the same pattern of behavior. It's not one or two one-offs. It's not a crate. You know, I believe you take these all case by case. But we should believe women when they're saying stuff in the sense that we should listen. And understand why they're saying something, and give them the same air cover that men get, but or at least platform to say things. But and this was pretty dark. So it sucks to lose a strong, quote unquote, strong Democratic governor of our biggest or one of our biggest states, being ours in the Democratic Party. But can't have this. Bad for the party. Bad for the country. Bad for the women. Bad for him. Bad for everybody. This sucks. So sorry to start this pod off with negative news, but it's not fun.
But best of luck to Kathy Hochul, and very cool if I'm pronouncing her last name right. And then and excited to have our
best of luck to New York State,
female governor of New York State.
One requirement for the new governor is that they need to keep the Buffalo Bills in New York, and they need to let us build a new stadium. So that's all I really care about. Let's talk about the real issues. So before we dive in, we have a really fun conversation on deepfakes, which blew my freaking mind. But the last thing I want to say before we get to deepfakes is, was checking out, for those of you who've been listening, Carly made a call on something, NFT, a non-fungible token called a gift goat that Gary Vaynerchuk is doing. And I went in and checked. We didn't get one because of some logistical complications, and they were for sale for 3 ETH when ETH was at, let's call it $1,800.
We were buying it for 5 ETH.
Okay, 5 ETH. And I just went and peeped that price, and they are being sold online for 35 ETH. So that's $100,000. That's a down payment on a home, I guess, right? Or a whole bunch of things. And so we're pissed. So hopefully y'all took our actual Carly's investment advice. Gift goats to the moon. Probably still going up. Damn. So...
I will also, like, my second plug for VFriends is I do own 2 VFriends, not the gift goats, but other NFTs from this overall drop. And because I'm a VFriend holder, I was gifted an additional NFT, something called an Avastar, for free that I already have offers on for like $600. So
The blogs are just Carly's printing money out here.
Again, I can afford my retainers. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
And,
but,
you know, I've stopped doubting. Gift goats to the moon. Anyway.
Gift goats to the moon, baby.
Tell us about who we got coming on, Carl.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. So when I was in Miami for this hackathon, also if anybody wants to like learn more about hackathons, DM me. I'm like very nerdy into hackathons at this point.
Sweet.
And this was a really cool one. So I met a number of really cool people and I had this awesome calling card, which is co-hosting this podcast. So when I found people that I thought were special or interesting, you know, I would connect with them and ask them to come on the show. So we'll probably have a couple more of these interviews, but these next two people, they're super impressive young folks who are at this hackathon, both with backgrounds in AI, machine learning, and they built a very cool deepfake product. We can't get into the specifics of it because they're in the process
raising money
for it. And so they like are trying to keep it kind of stealth, but we were able to have a broader conversation with them around deepfakes. And I can tell you they are legit because I've seen the deepfake. I saw the deepfake they built over the course of this week-long hackathon. Very cool. It is Alex Lazar and Francesca Callejos. So very excited to have them both on the pod and talking to us about the future
of
deepfakes.
They're 23-year-old babies who know more about the future of the tech and the world. It was mind-blowing. Deepfakes are terrifying and awesome. You guys are going to love this. Tune in. Deepfake conversation. Yang Speaks right now.
Very excited to welcome Alex Lazar and Francesca Callejas to Yang Speaks. I met these two in Miami this past week during Miami Hack Week. They were working on some very cool stuff, and they built a deepfake of one of the Miami Hackathon organizers, and it was so cool. I wanted to have them on for a bigger conversation about deepfakes, the technology, where this might all be going. It's crazy. So
it's terrifying and awesome. And anything that's terrifying and awesome is worth talking about. Let's do this assuming no one knows anything. So I guess we'll start with you, Alex, because you're nodding more passionately than Francesca, something personal. If you're watching the video. But maybe, or you either have the best answer, but let me start with you, Alex. Can you explain, let's say it's my mother, she's in her early 60s, what a deep fake is?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think the simplest way to explain a deep fake is just like, the first term, I would say it's synthetic media. It's not real. It's like you're creating some type of new media. And that media specifically is in which a person in an existing image is replaced by, or a video is replaced by a person or video from another video. So imagine like right now we're able to swap your face, Zach, onto Carly's face. And it sounded like you, Zach. It moved like you, but it was still on like Carly's body and everything.
So
anything to add to that, Francesca?
No, I think that was a really good summary. I think the main thing to hone in on is like, it is completely computer generated synthetic video and even audio.
Does someone have to actually do it for you to put a deep fake on top of it? So if like, I have to do the action or say the words or be on the screen and then you layer on someone else's face. So it's real in some way, but not the real person doing it.
It could go both ways. So you could, let's say you had like Carly's face, but you wanted your voice. And there is deepfake technology where we could get Carly to move her lips, her eyes, the lighting and everything. Exactly. But it'll be your voice, Zach, coming out. Oh,
that
or
would
vice.
Be terrifying.
We don't need
or
that.
Or there's even like the creepier ones where you can kind of like superimpose your face, Zach, with your movements directly onto Carly.
Oh boy. So, but it does, but it's not like you can make Carly do anything. Someone else has to do it and then you can make it look like Carly did that thing. Is that fair? And is the technology going to a place where you can just make real people look like, you know, no one has to actually act it out? Or is that core to the tech?
I think typically the way it works is that basically like at a very high level, what we're doing is like, in a sophisticated way, we are overlaying two images or videos on top of one another. And then you're taking the components of it that you would want and computer generating like kind of the parts of it that weren't there to begin with. So like maybe movements that weren't exactly made. So like to make your mouth look as though you were saying whatever Carly was saying, for example. So like at a high level, the way the technology works right now is like you would need a background of what you want the new superimposed layer to look like. So you would need some kind of, like actor in the background or like creator in the background that could be acting out the movements of what you would want the like deep faked version to do.
Mm-hmm. And the technology is though getting to a place I would say where it's like, if we would, let's say Zach created a machine learning or AI model of your voice, then, and had some good video of you, we would be able to create a deep fake of you saying whatever we wanted it to say. Exactly. That's kind of like you kind of said, the next evolution.
And it's going to get more and more, let's call it, ambiguous or empowering to the coder, if you will, the engineer, to make people look like they're doing what we want. Okay. Whole bunch of questions. Carly, you know more about this than I do, so I'm just going to ask a dumb question. So first things first, are they easy to spot if they're fake, or do they look and feel real? Like, is it like certain experts can tell if something's been Photoshopped? Is that the case for deep fakes, or are they like unrecognizable and someone has to like publicly say that's a deep fake?
I would say there's like a two-part answer to that. There is like kind of an ongoing, like in kind of like the world of like, you know, internet fakes, just in terms of like, you know, fake news. And there's kind of also like an education process, I would say, going on in the world of like people trying to identify like deep fakes. And that's such a big question that's going on. There's actually been legislation that's been introduced. I know DARPA actually has all the time like events where they have people say like, hey, like, we'll pay you. This is a crowdsourced event. We're trying to figure out ways that A, we can identify deep fakes, and B, ways that we could stop the spread of deep fakes if they were to be identified. So this is something that's like constantly being investigated and constantly being looked into, just because, as you could imagine, like you guys are saying, if we were to make deep fakes of you and take over Yang Speaks, I don't think that would be good for anybody.
Well, if you make me sound smarter and or better looking, I'm in. If not, then that's a problem. Okay. This is, oh my, okay. So Scarlett, I'm just going to keep dabbing.
Go.
I have two use cases I want y'all's opinions on. One is wholesome and one's kind of weird and maybe a little dark. Let's start with the wholesome one is Hollywood. So theoretically, could I have a bad actor, a cheap actor, go in and shoot a movie, and then I deepfake Leonardo DiCaprio on him. So I can pay for Leo's like license, but I don't have to pay for his time and all that other crap and save a bunch of money. Is that in the future?
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting use case because this has been used in Hollywood already. There's like previous technology. Yeah. So one of the ways, did you guys get a chance to watch The Irishman that just came out on Netflix?
The one that came out a couple years ago?
The older Scorsese movie film? Or the...
With Robert De Niro.
It's, like the famous movie. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We had not that. Whatever. We had an early date watching that movie.
Okay.
It's an incredible movie. Cool.
Very long movie.
So like five freaking hours long. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very long movie, yes. But what they did was that they paid millions and millions of dollars to come up with this de-aging technology so that Robert De Niro looked like decades younger in the film, and Al Pacino.
By the way, this movie isn't that old. It won the Academy Award last year. So sorry.
Yeah.
This is how long
it's not that old.
Yeah.
No, but that's why what they wanted was to see like a young Robert De Niro in the film rather than like younger, like today's day and age Robert De Niro. What? So Netflix paid like millions and millions of dollars for this like sophisticated technology that could de-age some of these actors in the film, including Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. Deepfakes were actually able to do this so much better. So they were using this technology called VPX, I think, something like that. But it's definitely not as sophisticated as deepfake. So some YouTuber came in and within 7 days used this open source technology. So it was entirely free and came up with a way to de-age these same actors much better. So he like posted this video, went viral. Yeah, it went viral because people
send me this video. We'll put in the link. That's awesome.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll send it. It was so fascinating because people were like, oh, this is so much better. Like when Netflix comes and uses this YouTuber's name is iFake. They're like, when YouTube comes in and uses iFake's version of the movie, then I'll go ahead and watch it again. But this one's so much better. So there are already like some use cases for doing this in Hollywood, which is interesting. But it's just, I think we're still a long ways to go from this being like very widely adopted. I think like a use case that you mentioned, like would Leonardo DiCaprio be okay with his likeness mm-hmm. being sold and not his time? Like, would that devalue his means as an actor? Because it wouldn't be his acting at that point. You would be taking the acting of the like lesser actor underneath him and just like overlaying his face on there. So I think it like introduces a lot of questions of like, what do you actually want from the actor or from the person who's being used as a deep fake? And like what do you actually care to keep? Like, yep. is it just
you make
face,
someone
or,
be
like,
a different type of character, right? If they want, mm-hmm. you want them to have longer hair, you want them to have a different color skin,
right?
Or
in some
gender.
Ways, mm-hmm. it's the reverse of what you're saying, Zach. Instead of buying a crappy actor, it's like you use some like
buy
really
good
actor who maybe doesn't look the
doesn't
way
look good.
You want the character to mm-hmm. look, and you can superimpose a different look upon.
They're gonna
somebody.
Fix all the British actors' teeth, is what they're.
Gonna
oh do.
My god! We have a long running joke because I like British shows because I have a theory that they are like less committed to having to have only like super hot actors in British shows, so they actually just get better actors, so they don't have to.
I fully agree with that.
They don't have to look like movie stars. Credit to my mom, this was actually her theory originally, and I think it's true. So they have.
I don't think it's theory. I think it's true.
Fine, they have better actors because they don't have to make them look like supermodels all the time.
We love someone super hot. We'd rather have subpar acting and above average looks than the other way around.
Right, and Britain's like, we actually care about the craft. Okay, that's not the point of this. What was your second use case?
So my second use case is. Very strange. We could cut this out if it's uncomfortable, but I think we keep it. My
go for it.
Second use case, like I think, is pornography. Yeah. Mm. And in a world where you can, I mean, you have the same porn stars, plural if you want, making themselves look like different types of people and monetizing the same their same actions to different audiences, because everybody in porn and people have their different preferences and fetishes or whatever it is. And my question is that might, the wholesome side of me is like, that sounds very theoretically safer, because I think one of the biggest challenges of the porn industry is very young women like regretting making that career choice, where you don't, you can do this, you know, later in life or when you're older and that sort of thing. But the other one is that you could put, you know, an innocent a girl next door or a teacher or whoever it is in the body of a porn star and share that virally, and that's horrific. So thoughts on the, and not only pornography, I guess, but like the dark side of this too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, I know there was, during my research while I was looking into this, like for this stuff, I did come across, like, specifically there was one big incident of something exactly almost like you're talking about that happened, which kind of like spurred this whole conversation, which there was this technology or software that came out. It was, I feel embarrassed to say this, it was called Deep Nude. And it was actually like a paid for application that used this same technology that's used to make deepfakes, where you could upload a picture of anybody you wanted and it would generate them without clothes. And that was quickly like, within, I don't know how quickly.
I love that
within,
some coder was like, this is the coolest application. This is the best way to apply this technology.
I don't even know if that's what they thought, but the thing is, like, in kind of like the whole thing surrounding deepfakes, which I think gets everyone so worried, and it's like the perfect example might be pornography, is that it's just getting a little too easy. It's getting to that point where it's like, you know, like there's so many YouTubers, like almost to that last example that you said, where it's like they're able to just make these things almost. Which years ago or maybe decades ago, which should have taken millions, if not like entire research agencies from countries to develop,
some,
maybe within a week or two.
In some idiot in their basement, ruining
exactly.
people's
and
lives.
Exactly.
And another thing to add here is that it, like, for everyone that's making technology that, that has good use cases, like the first wholesome use case that you mentioned, like there's always going to be someone that can use that perniciously. And that was like, it is already happening, like Alex mentioned. At some point they did, I think back in like 2018, they did an audit of like deepfakes out like in the wild web. And it was something like 95% of them were being used for pornography first.
Mm-hmm.
So
pornography
yeah.
industry is usually cutting edge tech. They it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They can take risks. Endless market. Anyway, sorry. This is, it's one of the things about the internet. I don't know if you guys have seen the Social Dilemma with Tristan Harris. It was on Netflix, but it was, I mean, he's been a guest in the pod, but he says something so fascinating to me. He's like, this technology and these advances in technology are both utopia and dystopia at the same time, where it's literally heaven, where you can do the most amazing, wholesome, incredible things with the tech, and you can have the exact same, like, you know, as awesome mm-hmm. as it is, it's equally as terrible.
Yeah.
And you guys are on the cutting edge of that. Go ahead, Carly.
Okay, so talk to us about some other interesting use cases for this. Where is this all going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of what Zach and I can even imagine.
So I think what's really important to realize is that, like, the deepfake technology is kind of built on many other AI and machine learning models. And those things, like, this is just the product of those models, like specifically autoencoders and GANs, which stands for generative adversarial networks. Long story short, both of those models combined are what are commonly used to make all the deepfakes that you see today. And what they're basically doing at the end of the day is trying to generate something that is real and looks realistic. And one of the big areas where that actually comes into place is two things. One, it could be used a lot in AI for, like, self-driving cars or image recognition, where it's like, are we trying to determine if this traffic light is real or if it's not? I think there's actually a bug recently in the Tesla software when there was, like, a full moon recently, where I think every Tesla was detecting it as, like, a red light or something. And that was, like, you know, a perfect example of this, where it's like, you know, maybe it's sending all the information that the car is recognizing. Oh, it's giving me all the data that I think it's a light. I'm giving all the data that I should be telling my person in the car that it's a light. But the same technology that's used to almost generate deepfakes is used to verify if this is real or not. Mm-hmm. Another common example that it's used is for drug discovery, where it's like they actually will in molecular models on computers, like, pick and remove by hand, like, different molecules and see what the computer generates. And they've actually, like, verified some of these drugs on mice to see if they work or not.
So yeah, drug discovery is in prescription drugs, not as in we're discovering heroin in somebody's locker.
No, like, in a lab. Exactly. Okay. Like, in a lab, at, like, different permutations, like, to see how they would work and not.
Oh, way more wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a big overlap between the technology that deepfakes use and, like, the power of computer vision. And that's the technology that Alex was talking about. So computer vision is what powers, like, Tesla's self-driving cars, that they can identify what's on the road, as a streetlight, as a pedestrian, as another car coming. Mm-hmm. You can use this to take an image and do some really interesting, like, analysis of what's going on in the images. That was actually one of the other Hack Week projects that was really cool. They were doing like a modern day Theranos, but using computer vision. It wasn't based on chemistry. They were taking, I think they could probably talk more about the technology, but they were, like, taking an image of, like, the red blood cell counts and using that to determine what kind of diseases an individual can have. So, like, there's a lot of power behind, like, the computer vision technology, and deepfake is just, like, one interesting use case in which I think the reason why people are so fascinated by it is because it does, like, tread the line between, like, uncanny valley and, like, reality.
Oh, it's a perfect moral dilemma, and it's scary. And this will be like the tip of the sword, I think, politically over time. Let me ask this, like, is there a world? So you talked about in the beginning where you're layering two videos over, right? So you need a real and then you need the fake, and then you know, that sort of thing. Is there a world where the real is a video game, where you have Zach's video game character, which our graphics are getting better and better? Let's say I look close to Zach and you make him up, and then you layer on a real Zach on top. So then you actually could make me do literally anything without a real actor. Is that where this could be going? I imagine yes, but I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's like a very solid use case for it, because you would, in this case, you would use the animations from the video game to be the underlying technology, or the underlying actor that you can overlay this technology on top of, which, I think that there are use cases in this already, like, going back to the, like, pernicious use cases. Like, I think they are already doing stuff like this with pornography. So, like, there's a lot of ways in which you could already leverage that technology for deepfakes. I think it's just not, like, out in the wild yet for more wholesome use cases.
I keep going back to Hollywood, where it's like, why are Pixar movies so good? Because they can edit them forever to make them perfect, mm-hmm. right? And they have lower margin, or higher margin, excuse me, like lower costs. So there's a world where you can have all the benefits of a Pixar movie, where you can perfect it and cut your costs, but then make it look completely real with famous actors. And I'm saying this out loud. Holy shit, this is gonna be cool.
But I think Francesca's point is right, which is that these actors aren't going to agree to this, and there does feel like there's
there will be. I think I disagree. I think there'll be money in it. But I agree that like a Leo, maybe not, but like an up and comer.
Sure.
One common thing maybe that we're not considering. What about dead actors? Like
using their likeness.
Like, you know, that's even already been done a little bit, like in Star Wars with like.
But don't you think? Psychologically, the experience as a user, and maybe we'll get over this hurdle eventually, but like is totally different. Like, why am I don't want to watch a movie where it's all fake. Like, Zach, would you watch the Buffalo Bills the way you typically do if like it wasn't actually any of the real, like, I don't know, it just
I feels, think that's different, but like I loved Robin Williams. Would I love to see him again in a new movie? Hell yeah.
Even though it's not him acting,
it would be like his ethos and energy and still just as funny. I think there'll be plenty of people that want to see it. I mean, look, if it's not just as funny, no one will watch it. But if you do it well, it would be. Go ahead, Francesca. Sorry.
Well, what if you were able to capture Robin Williams' personality enough that it was his humor? And it, like, the voice would be easy because there's so many movies with his voice. And the acting would be easy because there's already so many images of him out there. Like, I guess the question there would be, like, the underlying actor, like, would we be able to use like some of his old videos as underlying actors so that we can even use like him to like motivate his new film?
So I will say there was another interesting deepfake project at Miami Hack Week, and it was this gentleman. I don't know even what his day job is, but he does a lot on TikTok. So he has 800,000 TikTok followers.
His day job is TikTok. Come on.
I don't think TikTok it was, but I don't know. And so
Yang's core policy to running for mayor, according to the press. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so
you didn't see this?
We got a lot of shit for it. Okay, he had nearly a million TikTok followers, and he basically built a deep fake of himself that would go live on his TikTok channel for like he went live for 11 hours straight, but it was his deep fake going live. And he gained 10,000 followers on TikTok by having his deep fake of himself go live on his own channel. And he said he came to this because he was seeing that when he would go live, people would just ask the same questions over and over again. It was like, how are you? Like, what's up? Like, what are you up to? What'd you have for breakfast? Like, da-da-da-da-da. So he just got to the point where he's able to create enough answers to those that he then was able to make himself go live, gain a bunch of followers without actually having to be there. And he took like a video of himself at a party while he was in theory going live on TikTok. But it's really interesting, some of those kind of self-sovereign like creator examples.
Both of you, like, one, you're incredibly young and impressive. So when I was however old you are, 19, I was
I don't think you're quite 19.
Drinking
but
like an idiot. How old are you? 22, whatever.
I'm 23.
Okay. Also 23.
You guys can drink. Okay, cool. But still, I wasn't doing what you're doing. So the more I like look into what's coming out of Pike future tech-wise, my brain just always goes to this conclusion that we're inevitably going to live in Ready Player One world, or have that as an option. Do you guys agree with that, or is this going to integrate into maybe more what Elon Musk is trying to build, where like the computer sync with our brain, and that the world is the real world is a Ready Player One environment that like is connected deeply to technology? Or you think we end up building this like separate world where we could like upload into Matrix style? I don't know. What do you think? Where does this go in your mind?
I would say that it's like, I think, kind of like, you know, look at technology like today and like the large landscape. It's like, you know, we're also like in a cool place where like, you know, me and Francesca were like in like such a good position where like we're able to like go to like this hackathon and like kind of like go to school and work on like kind of like this cutting edge stuff. But at the end of the day, like, you know, there's still such a large amount of like the world, you know, I don't know what the percentage would be that like, you know, doesn't even know or doesn't even care for, I would say, like what some of this stuff is. So I would always say that I always view it as like this dichotomy, that there's always like the super far cutting edge, like, you know, the Neuralink, the like deep fake, this crazy stuff. And then there's like also the people that, you know, are just, this doesn't really affect them and they don't really care about it. And I think the future will be kind of just more of that. I always see it as this split kind of continuing where it's like, you know, there are many people that today that still don't even use computers. And who's to say that, like, you know, that will ever change? I mean, maybe there is a future where more and more, like, we reach kind of like a, I think there's like a word for it, like in the Terminator, like the equinox, where it's like enough people are now on the web and it's like we all are in the singularity, I think it's what they call it or something. But I think in terms of that, for a while, we're still going to kind of see like a very large split for the future, so until like we reach that point.
You're sort of describing like a worsening of, I call it like cultural inequality, right? Like there's mm-hmm. inequality, obviously, in wealth and income, et cetera, but there's a lot of inequality that's connected to money, but in like how we're living our lives now at this point in the world.
And for sure, and that's for sure.
Getting more severe. And it sounds like this is only going to make it more and more severe.
For sure. For sure. I agree 100%.
Well, I was going to say, Francesca, where do you think this is going? You know, what is this? What's the end game here?
I don't know that I fully agree with Alex, actually, because I think, I mean, it's probably true that not the entire world is going to adopt technology. We already know that that's true. Like you said, not every civilization and society is online. But it does seem as though we're headed in a direction where at least the United States, mm-hmm. you know, just thinking about our nation, like, you know, my little brother's school is adopting iPads already. And he's starting in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So if like technology is being more and more adopted starting from an early age in like the public school sector, then most people, at least in the US, I would say, would probably be comfortable with technology. I don't know that it's going to happen right away. I think that people get really scared when they see this kind of technology and they think, oh my gosh, in 10 years, everything's going to be revolutionized mm-hmm. by this. And I think it'll be a lot slower than that. Like a lot of movies from the 90s and 80s predicted that like in the 2020s, we would already have like flying cars and
yeah, we'll be hoverboarding.
Like everyone would
yeah.
be
back
a robot.
To the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's not the case. So I do think it'll be really slow. But I think that when we get to when maybe 100 years down the line or 150 years down the line, things will be a lot harder to, I think we'll have to answer the question of like, what's real and what isn't a lot more than we do mm-hmm. right now. Like right now, you can, you know, label a deepfake as a deepfake, and that's that. But what happens when people are like maybe half bionic creatures and have a neural link inside their brain, and a lot of even their thoughts are computer generated or their emotions are computer generated. I think that day might come, and I think then we'll have to answer a lot of the questions about what exactly is reality. How do we draw that line?
It's a real question, and I think right now you have like the free markets kind of running ripshod over society when it comes to tech. Like we can do anything. There's no regulation, generally speaking. Social media and the internet are melting our children's and adults' brains. Melting is probably too negative, potentially. It depends who you ask, but they are changing us. People are, even our English language is, people are learning to talk and communicate with emojis. You get on a list, right? So I don't know, but what I do know is you guys are at the forefront of it. I'm excited to watch your careers go. I'm excited for what you guys are building. So keep us posted, but thank you from the bottom of our hearts for joining. This was mind-blowing and a little terrifying, mm-hmm. but mind-blowing, more importantly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having us. And like I said, don't know if I ever get this chance. Yang Gang, let's go.
Yes, sir. Yang Gang, forever.
Yang Gang, baby.
All right, folks, that's our show. Thank you for tuning in. Before you go, one last piece of news. I put it at the end because not all of you care about this, but you should, is that Josh Allen, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, just signed a $250 million.
Just signed. He's so excited.
$250 million plus contract to stay in Buffalo through 2029. Folks, this is so exciting. I cannot tell you. It's been 20
years.
Wait,
I thought you told me it was 6 years.
6 year extension on top of the next two. Now,
If
you are, I'm not expecting you to be, this is what I say. It's been 20 years, been two decades, and the Bills have been good. They were good in the 90s, and they haven't had a quarterback for 20 years. I'm not expecting you to love football. I'm not expecting you to give a shit about Zach's passion for the Buffalo Bills. But I will say this. Josh Allen is one of the coolest stories in professional sports today. This kid was unrecruited, got zero scholarship offers to go to play football in college, went to junior college, still didn't get any offers, got one offer from the University of Wyoming, went there, tore it up, got drafted in the NFL, dropped to seventh pick in the NFL by the Buffalo Bills. He's so Buffalo. He is a wonderful human being.
Everyone doubted him.
Everybody
doubted
him.
Nobody thought he was going to make it.
He's a wonderful human being. The teams love him. People love him. He's a great guy. And he's going to be in Buffalo for a long time. And last season was second in MVP voting.
So this is now just a Josh Allen fan podcast. I hope y'all are buckled up and ready for that.
Guys, I love sports because it's a way to give so much of a shit and just care passionately about something you have no control over. So I'm asking you, go on this Buffalo Bills Josh Allen journey with me for the next 8 years. You're not going to regret it. And when the Bills win that Super Bowl, behind Josh Allen, it's going to be one of the greatest stories. It already is one of the greatest stories, but it's going to be probably the best story in NFL history, and I am so freaking excited. So then I'll shut up. Tune in next week. We won't talk that much about the Buffalo Bills. We love you guys. Have a great week. See you next Thursday.